You're listening to episode 260 of Lifestyle Locker Radio with Elizabeth Tripp. Hi, I'm Dr. Josh Hant, and welcome to Lifestyle Locker Radio, where we help you create an awesome life and lifestyle. From nutrition to fitness, mindfulness to peak performance, and relationships to money mindset, we bring you on an amazing journey to help you unleash your human potential. Hey, it's Dr. Josh Hant here, and we need to talk about your health, your fitness, and your lifestyle. I know you, if you're like me, you've seen sickness and disease and even death in your life. And we know the leading causes of death in the United States are cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. Many of these conditions and diseases are considered lifestyle-based. And I know that lifestyles in the United States and other countries are not where they should be. We also know that they make you more vulnerable to other sicknesses and conditions. We tend to get our advice and recommendations on health from commercials and marketing, from fast food to pharmaceuticals, and not from experts with real world experience. Unfortunately, we follow people or products who don't walk the walk or talk the talk. They simply just don't care about your health. It's just about their bottom line. I know we've heard it from our friends and from even our own self-talk that we don't have enough time, we can't make the changes, or there's just too much to do to be healthy. But there is a way to actually take control of your lifestyle and have the accountability and the support you need. We can be bigger than our excuses. For the past 14 years as a chiropractor, I've worked and continue to work with thousands of patients with their lifestyle and ultimately their health. I am now bringing the same philosophy to the online space where we can work as a group to get better, stronger, healthier, and be bigger than our excuses every single day. I've created the 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program to be an online-based, training-based program where you get to learn and be engaged with others in your journey towards a healthy lifestyle and ultimately a healthier life. To be part of this amazing movement, it's just $5 a month. Yes, it's only $5 a month, and that seems too good to be true. Well, it's not. So for the price of a gourmet coffee, you will have access to an amazing program and amazing people that want the best for you too. So when you dive into the content below this video to learn about our lifestyle philosophy, you'll see that we are incredibly unique. No other online program focuses on lifestyle the way we do and delivers the quality and the quantity of content that we do for just $5 a month. And it's not just about the movement. There's a lot more. It's really about your health. So check out the details and other videos below. And when you sign up, I'll even send you the ebook, Inside the Locker, which dives deeper into creating an awesome lifestyle. I look forward to seeing you on the inside of the Lifestyle Locker 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program. Hey everyone, welcome back to Lifestyle Locker Radio. We have an amazing guest today. We're going to be talking about mind, body, spirit, well-being. This is Elizabeth Tripp. So Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you so much for, you know, inviting me onto the show and really allowing me to be of service to your community. I feel so grateful to be here. So thank you. Yeah.
We're glad to have you. And as I always start the show, I love to know everybody's story. Everybody's got a story. And when we have people that have started to impact other people's lives, you know, there usually is a journey that we've been on. And I know you've had a journey. So why don't you just share that with our audience?
Yeah, it's so true. My journey. Well, you know, Josh, my journey began really back in middle school. So I remember coming into the middle school hallway, and here I am. I'm 5'6" tall, about the same height I am right now. I'm 13 years old, and I weigh about 175 pounds. Now, thinking about that, I'm bigger than my other classmates, particularly the girls in my grade. And you know, Josh, the boys in my class were really, really adamant about letting me know that. So I remember coming up to my locker and I was turning the combination. You know, I can even remember the numbers. It was like 10 this way, 4 to the left, and 0 right on the dot. And I opened up my locker door and wow, this loose leaf note fell to the ground. And I thought, that's really interesting. What is that? And I go to pick it up. And as I'm unfolding it, I notice that there's this hand-drawn image. And as I open it up, it appears to have been a bus. And on the side of the bus, there was this sort of signature that said, Elizabeth is as big as a bus. Oh. And as I looked at that, it was like my mind became aware of this snickering, laughing of teenage boys behind me. And it was like my heart broke, you know? It had been already almost 2 years. They had been poking fun, whispering things in my ears. I walked down the hallway, but this was like ultimate icing on the cake. And I remember standing there and tears just kind of streaming down my cheeks, and I'm looking down at myself and I feel this sense of shame and embarrassment. And I thought, wow, why am I so ugly? And I remember that day, I just made this like conclusion, you know, I'm never going to be beautiful. And I went home and I remember coming back and laying in my bedroom and thinking about, you know, what was I going to do next? How was I going to fix this? You know, I'm so broken inside and I needed to fix myself in order to be accepted and liked by everyone in middle school. And so I was thinking, I decided, you know, I'm going to get on a treadmill. There was one in the basement my mom had, and she was really always into her own image and being in her own sort of health and well-being with her body. So this was something that I was used to, but hadn't taken any initiative on myself. So after that, I started to go down in the basement after school and I began to start to jog or run. And I tell people, you know, I got on that treadmill when I was 13 and I really never stopped running until I was 30. And that was about 5 years ago. And I mean it in a metaphorical sense that I ran from myself, because as I ran, I lost like 60 pounds, and over like 18 months as I went into high school, I was this thin, you know, framed girl, having transformed from being heavy and big and that being so bad. Here I was now, this beautiful girl, according to what everybody else thought. And yet I still felt so ugly, because I had done what was expected in the world or standard of beauty and had achieved a body shape and size that was considered acceptable and lovable. Yeah, I felt really awful about myself. I felt really ashamed and insecure about who I was. And Josh, I started to give away my power to others to be able to define my value, and for my value to be measured based off of my physical appearance. And it really was something that I didn't consciously know was happening. And in fact, I became so involved in my health and well-being as it regards to the way I looked and the way I ate that I just naturally went to school to become a dietitian. So I had actually enrolled in right out of high school into a 4-year degree with an internship that gave me credentials when I graduated. And I went down to New York City and I started to do what I loved, which was to talk to people about their body and their food relationship. Yet, as I sat across from them, I felt like a fraud because I would come home after work and I would have my own anxieties and overwhelm, or I would feel like I wasn't producing enough or performing enough for my boss, or I would think that maybe I need to change the way I look for a boyfriend, you know? And I would actually comfort eat to help myself feel better. So my weight was always going up, down, up, down. And yet I was supposed to be this like expert, you know? And eventually it started to really become apparent to me that many of the people I was working with across from in my counseling sessions, there was a lot deeper things going on than just them having to follow a plan or, you know, adhere to a certain kind of regimen with food or their body, that there was like a root cause to why they were doing what they were doing. And yet I felt so lost because I felt in myself still broken in need of fixing and searching for the answer to my well-being. And so fast forward these years in New York, I get into a relationship and lo and behold, I attract someone who equally mirrors my own insecurities and their own sort of, you know, self-doubting kind of character, always wondering if I was being faithful and vice versa to him. And so there was so much like fighting and immaturity. And yet I really cared about this person. And I cared a lot about showing them that they could love me and that I could be someone that they deemed as like beautiful and that they wanted to stay with me. It was a lot of hard work. And what ultimately ended up happening, Josh, was that this person said to me, "I can't see a future with you and I can't do this anymore." So after 4 years, we went our separate ways. And what happened to me was it catalyzed me to go like into this dark, deep rock bottom. Why couldn't any of my relationship work out? Why do I feel like I'm not really doing what I'm meant to be doing? Why do I feel so broken and as though I am never enough? And why do I struggle feeling like no matter what I do, I'll always be ugly inside? And so this was very painful for me. Like I locked myself away, didn't want to go out. I was living up on the Upper West Side and a friend kind of came to me and she said, "You know, you're definitely like something is wrong." And I said, "You know, I'm very sad and I don't know how to get out of this." And she said, "You know, I don't know why, but I want you to meet somebody." And I was like, "Okay, like who is this person?" And she said, "Well, he's a healer." And that's kind of like the best way I can describe it. And I was like, "A healer?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I said, "Do you mean like he believes in the universe and you know, that there's something guiding us?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I said, And I heard a very small voice in the center of my heart. And it said, "Just go." And I thought, you know, what do I have to lose if I'm thinking, there's no point in living. This is so hard. What's there to lose, you know? So she told me I had to pack my things and that I needed to get into a car and that I would be driving down to the coast of where this healer lived and in a small town, a beach town actually. And I was like, "Okay." And she said, "You have a day to, you know, get ready." And I'm like, "Okay." So I get my things together and we did this sort of like red-eyed drive out of Manhattan and I land in this sort of beach area on the coast of North Carolina and I arrive in the morning time and I have a session with this gentleman in about 2 hours and I'm thinking, what is going to happen to me? Like, what am I even doing here? And the time passes pretty quickly and I come and to his home. And he comes out and he's nothing like I expect. He's this very warm, very kind-eyed individual. He says to me, I've been waiting for you. And I thought, what? Waiting for me? And he said, I know you've been wanting to be powerful for a long time. And I was like, who is this? And my whole body reacted just with tears, because that was the truth, you know? It had been the glaring, obvious truth for me, yet no one had ever put it so simply. And my soul, it felt like, just had this sense of relief. And I went in, and this gentleman just helped me see so easily and effortlessly why I carried so much pain and shame about my body and myself, and how these teenage boys had been a catalyst for me to believe something about myself that would ultimately help me learn the lesson of what true beauty is, what well-being is. And I just thought, wow. And that point forward, I decided I was going to work with him and that my life would be different. And I decided I was going to stay on this earth, on this journey, that I was going to truly help people. And I was going to help them transform their understanding of well-being and their relationship with their body and who they really are. And since then, that was in 2015, I've been able to quit my 9-to-5 and integrate my knowledge of what I studied in college, the science of the body and the mind, and add now a spiritual integration of what I do, and open up the space to practice with people in a very transformative way, to awaken them to the beauty of their soul journey by helping them see the beauty of their body and their life, and really open up to see why the painful things happen in our life and how they are here on purpose to help us learn very important things about ourselves. So that's my, like, I guess, short, long version of me.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, that's very thorough. And I think everybody listening is, you know, is like, I could picture them sitting in their car, sitting on their headphones, just going like with their jaw dropped a little bit, going, what's happening next? It's like narrating this amazing story that goes from like this dark place to light. So yeah. I was waiting for the next sentence to come out. Yeah. So as you've gone through this journey, and you know, we're in this new place now where you're helping people, where you're helping people transform from the inside out, what does that look like? Because your journey was very specific to you, and I know everybody's journey is specific to them.
Yeah.
What is this transformational process? What does it work like? What are you focusing on with each individual? Is it different?
Like, for example, when, you know, a client will come to me, it sounds like a good place to actually help you see like a typical kind of client. So, you know, I get a lot of clients that are really kind of feeling insecure and like low self-esteem about their body. You know, they either may be overweight and struggling with their weight, or have always gone up and down, or have always felt like the measure of their worth is dependent on a size or a shape or a number on the scale. So they tend to come with a lot of their own fears around food and kind of resentment about their shape and size. And so as they come, you know, what happens in my work is I'm really helping them kind of see where they first began to create opinions about themselves as it relates to, you know, their shape or their size that could be really influencing the way they're thinking and feeling and behaving with themselves. Mm. So I really set the stage for them to recognize that the well-being that they're looking for is an inside job. And we will go, like, for an example, a client came in, she's crying, she's sad. I hate the way I look, and I'm never gonna, you know, feel like I love myself. And I said, wow, that must be really painful. And I said, when is the first time you felt like you just didn't like what you saw in the mirror? And she said, well, I remember I was in a dressing room with my mom, and I was about 10. And we were getting ready for a family wedding, and she was wanting me to try on different dresses. And so there was a particular dress that she had me put on, and she went to snap it up or zip it up, and it just wouldn't go. And I could see the frustration in my mom's eyes, and I could feel her, you know, sort of wanting it to be a fit. And she even remembered her mom saying, "It's too bad you're too big for this beautiful dress." And I said, "Wow, how did that make you feel?" And she said, "It made me feel like my body wasn't beautiful and that there was something wrong with me." And in that space, we helped her see how she had created that opinion and image based off of what had happened with her mom, and that that didn't have to be true for her anymore. And that she could just let that out, let it be, you know, free from her, and create a new way of seeing herself as an adult and not seeing the world as a little kid in a dressing room anymore. And that's where we then help her with guided imagery and new kind of language, you know, that opens her up to see that in that experience, there was something important she needed to learn about herself, to understand for herself, and that it was a important experience she had with her mom, and that she could let it go and actually now believe she was beautiful. And so that's the kind of work we do, because it really leads to a permanent shift for people.
Yeah. So it almost sounds like you're a guide.
Yeah.
Right? Versus, we'll say, a coach or a therapist, right? You're like bringing them on this journey. And it's interesting. You know, I've done a lot of like the headspace work, and the people that I attract into my world, a lot of times my practice as a chiropractor or as, you know, helping coach people with ultra marathoning are me 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? Like, or more, whatever it may be. It's like, I keep attracting myself.
Yeah.
Because I know the journey, like I've been on the journey. And I think that's really neat that, you know, it sounds like you're having the same experience.
Oh yeah.
Which is really neat.
Mm-hmm. You know, I always say, Josh, and you probably will agree, as it supports what you're just mentioning, is that anybody that comes my way, it's like, I know that I can help them because they're going through something I've conquered or gotten. Anybody. So there's not one person that will come through my door that I don't think, you know, I won't be able to help, because they're, like you said, coming as an attraction point of what you've already learned for yourself. So that's
so true. Yeah. So I know you said you're working with like their mindfulness, their mind state, their headspace. And are you also in this journey as you're bringing, you know, one of the people, one of your clients will say through a journey, does it also include, you know, your past experience as someone that's, you know, studied the science of food and things like that? Does that become part of their journey as well?
Yeah, because most of the time when people have like an unhealthy opinion about themselves, whether it's like, I'm not lovable, or I'm not good enough, or there's something wrong with me, right? And they're not in a like balanced relationship with their body, they will often have a lot of imbalance with food too. Like, it will show up as a comfort, or it'll be a source for them to, you know, soothe these emotions or try to deal with life when it happens. So we look at food in a really, really kind of radical way. And when I say radical, as a traditional nutritionist, you know, a lot of what I learned in the principles of my teaching in school were like, you know, fix the food and you'll fix the problem, right? With that they're having. Mm-hmm. And really what I think it is that food is just a symptom of something deeper that's going on with them. They're feeling and thinking. And so what I need to see food as with them is a tool for me to better understand what it is at the root of them that they are struggling with. What is the belief system they hold that is limiting them from seeing their true potential and for really stepping into their authenticity? So I look at it as a beautiful tool for me to better understand the individual.
Okay. Yeah. No, I love to use the word belief systems. I think that's a really powerful thing. And I think we all have them, and they're constantly evolving. So as you're working with, you know, with someone, and you're bringing them on this, or guiding them on this journey, do you see or sense, you know, different shifts, you know, in their belief systems, you sense like that person, it's like, well, they want to pull away. Like,
yes.
Like, I'm too comfortable being in my uncomfortable place. That yes. It's hard to give up. You sense that?
Oh yeah. A lot of times, because, you know, someone may be used to a way of thinking and a way of operating in their life for like 30, 40 years or more. And so, you know, they can hold these beliefs. For example, you know, maybe it's a fear that carbs will make them fat, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're terrified of them, right? And they won't eat them and they won't actually integrate them into their lives. So what we want to understand is like, where is that fear coming from? Like, where did you create that belief? And where are you, you know, like sourcing this kind of truth for yourself? When we break it down, they're the most easiest digestible macronutrient out there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the portion to what you consume is that we need to teach you how to be able to monitor and tune into what's appropriate for you. Mm-hmm. And so they will get very attached. No, I know for a fact they are going to make me fat. And I say, well, what you think you create. And then they usually go, oh, and mm-hmm. I say, you know, as a master creator of our life, you think, you know, life will be hard or that this will be difficult. What will be the truth of your experience? And they say, oh, hard or difficult. And I say the same principle can be applied to food.
Yeah.
And they usually are like, oh, but that takes a lot of rewiring because they're so attached. They don't want to give it up. You know?
Yeah, so I want to twist it again a little bit more, because this is really good. You know, just when you mentioned carbs and you're talking like, it can make me fat, I could not stop thinking in my head for a second. I'm thinking of Austin Powers and Fat Bastard, and like, and I'm gonna bring that into, like, you know, it just made me think and laugh in my head. But when we think about, you know, people like your personal experience, or, you know, the woman you were speaking about with the dress, you know, I see that as a very, you know, visceral, like, real life experience. So we have those. Do you see it with people that have been, and I hate to say this, but I think it's so factual. I mean, that people are so brainwashed with media, like,
oh,
that's their demon. It's not, it may not have been a physical experience like you had, but it's like them just being, you know, like, I love the word, it's tell-a-vision and programming people to believe things.
Yes.
That I imagine you probably get people that may not even have had that real life, we'll say, experience, a perceived experience.
Absolutely. You know, I love that you brought that up. We're speaking the same language. You know, there's so many standards of what well-being is, of what beauty is, of what being handsome and powerful and strong is. And as little kids, like, we're watching the TV, we're going to the movies, we're, you know, flipping through magazines, we're seeing MTV music videos and the pop stars, and then watching social media unfold. We're being like sort of exposed to this image or standard in a cultural, societal paradigm of what you are expected to be as a beautiful person, as a healthy person, as a handsome person. And so as an individual, because we're also unique and we come in with a unique essence of ourselves, I call that the soul. It's not even possible for one soul to be the same or one body to be the same. So this cultural social programming actually creates what we call this invisible gap, that we are here, yet we want to be over here. And this then shame and pain, it, like, sort of cause that we have because we don't know how to get from where we are to who we want to be. And we make who we are as wrong or bad or broken or need of fixing. And that's simply not the truth. You're just here to be you, not me. Hmm. And that goes for every single person out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And just to tie, like, to make this a little bit deeper. So, you know, we talk about like television programming, this social media, all of this stuff that gets pumped into our conscious and subconscious.
Yeah.
And we're also brought up in a world where, you know, we talk about like the chemical, like the food chemicals, but even beyond, you know, we're taught that taking medicine at like a baby, as a young age, And that interferes with our biochemistry. And we start doing that at like 2 years old, or forget, maybe even vaccinated at birth. But we do that from like 2 years old. We're like, pills are good, pills are good, pills are good.
Yes.
And now we're at this place where like, Elizabeth, I need help, but I'm, you know, on social media 10 hours a day. I take pills for everything under the sun and I have all this stuff. How do I get out of it?
Exactly. Right. And as you know, as a chiropractor, that's probably what you see in your clients when they first come to you, right? It's like we are taught that our well-being is outside of ourselves, mm-hmm. and that we are eternally broken the moment we come through into this world. and it could be farther than the truth of that, you know, that we have all these like magic elixirs that are going to then give us what we call the McDonald's result. You just go in, you order it, and you get it out, and now you're happy. When in fact, there's no such thing in life as doing that, because even when you eat the McDonald's, you don't feel good.
Yeah.
And even if you take the pill, it doesn't actually fix the problem.
Yeah. 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 That's one of my lines with most of my people that, you know, we're looking at stuff. It's, you know, the $1 million question when we're looking at someone's spine is, you know, what pill or drug will put that bone back in place?
Yeah.
They don't. It doesn't. It doesn't fix problems. It may alter chemistry, but then now you're relying on the chemistry of that chemical, which, you know, we don't know what it does for the rest of the body. Right. So, I imagine you have with your people, like you may be like people are going to probably, I'm guessing, detox off of like junk food, but also the chemicals that they've been probably putting in their body for a lifetime. And that's got to be transformative by itself, because if your body's functioning better, your brain's going to function better. And like that, the open-mindedness is going to be see clear, like, rather than looking through clouds.
Exactly, because your body is just a mirror image of your own belief systems of yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you are thinking something that is unhealthy and destructive and, you know, weighing you down, your body will become a sort of representation of that. And we forget that rather than taking the pill to fix it, what we really need to focus on is the way that we're thinking and the emotions that are becoming apparent as a result of this, and how it's actually being impacted from the body's perspective as it holds on to what it's experiencing.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't think I'm good enough, my spine might be shrinking because I want to hide from the world.
Yeah. Well, physiology changes, you know, with our headspace, 100%.
Yeah.
Structure, function, it's all interrelated. I mean, you can't escape yourself from yourself, right? Like you live inside this vessel, this body.
Yeah.
Granted, we're not a mechanistic, it's not a mechanistic life. It's a vitalistic life.
Yeah.
So we're more than the sum of our parts. And I think that's also a big disconnect. You know, what I get to see my practice, I imagine you get to see is, you know, people think it's like only the like you said, the outside sources are the things that are going to make us who we are, whether it's a food or it's, you know, a thing, right?
That
does it. And I think that's really powerful that you get to connect with people on this deep level and almost like, I don't say like a stream, you got to like navigate around people's eyes because nobody's the same, but everybody's the same.
Oh yeah. That's right? So true.
Yeah.
We all just want to be able to, you know, experience this, you know, sense of being free to be ourselves, right? In all logic of that. Yet there's so much that we have been programmed and made to appear to seem that we need to do or be or push ourselves to achieve in order to arrive at that space.
Yeah, no, it's so true. It's so true. And I want to ask a couple more questions. And I think this is important because as we look and think about, you know, going forward, all of us, you know, whether we need to go on a journey with you or whether we need to do something else, whatever it may be, what few things would you say, hey, listen, ask these questions or do these things like to help people figure out where or how they may need to get some help?
Yeah, you know, that's such a great question. I think a very powerful question to start asking yourself is, you know, what do I deserve? And am I worthy of living a life where I feel healthy and well? You know, where I feel good about myself? Just thinking about those two questions, like, what do I deserve in my life? And am I worthy of really having true well-being and true health for myself? You know, you may notice when you ask yourself those questions, there's a whole lot of stuff that will come up. And it's a great journaling exercise, in fact, because you'll find that your mind will say, well, of course you deserve it, but it's hard. Well, no, that's not possible for you. Or I can't believe you think that. That's never going to be what's going to be your path. And so you will get to know what's actually more apparently limiting yourself as you slow down and quiet and nurture a more deeper, more presence to yourself. And it's just two simple questions. It's like, what do I deserve? And am I worthy of feeling good about myself? And that can open up a whole doorway into exploring more deeply what it is that you're coming up against on a regular basis that's limiting you. And likely is a part of a thread that's really rooted inside of a deeper sort of issue that you're holding onto or that you have attached yourself to.
Yeah, I think that's powerful. And we're going to go into the next question. So you mentioned something, you know, the questions were good, were the headspace, but then that the physical journaling.
Yeah.
You know, what other steps? So journaling is very powerful for those of you that have not yet tried, or I say, I hate the word try, not yet done any journaling.
Yeah.
What other things can help, you know, bring about this type of, you know, discovery?
Yeah.
I think this is cool because this is a good direction for people to start.
Yeah. Well, you know, traditionally people will often say meditation. And most of the time when I say that word, they go, oh, I can't do it. It's too hard. And I say, well, what's your perspective of meditation? And they say, I have to sit quiet on a pillow and put my hands up in these mudras. And I can't do it. My body hurts. And I say, where did you get that from? And they say, well, I read it in a book, or I saw it in a magazine, or I went to a retreat and that's how they taught it. And I said, well, thank you for letting me know that you took other people's opinions of meditation and tried to cram it into what works for you. And there's your reason it doesn't work, because it's not uniquely tailored for you. Okay. So let's make it simple. Meditation can be anything you do that quiets your mind and brings stillness to you. I don't care if it's a 10-mile jog, washing the dishes, vacuuming your living room floor, or just organizing your room. You can find ways to meditate anytime, anywhere. You just want to shift your own understanding and allow for it to be unique to you. And then people usually go, that sounds easy. Yeah. And I say, congratulations for the easy way of you to enjoy being you. And they go, oh, I feel so much better now. So did that help? Would that be useful for your audience? Do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that it's good because, you know, people, you know, I say we got to be the right person. The being is the most important. And I just had this conversation before our conversation talking about being, doing, and having.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want to, you know, just do and have.
Yep.
It's a different type of journey. You always got to start from the B first. And you know, when you talk about journaling and you talk about meditation, I think, you know, my personal experience, you know, I'm a morning meditator. That's my MO. And if and when I journal, which is frequently, but not 100% of the time,
yeah,
I'm going to be completely 100% transparent with my tribe here. You know, it's very powerful post meditation, because then sometimes, you know, my second version of meditation, like you said, is a 10-mile run, right? Yeah. Or it's a run for me, because it's the hardest thing to do. And the easiest thing to do once you figure it out is being with yourself.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And the most important relationship you're ever going to have is with you.
Exactly. So I get the most out of my journaling when I do one of those types of, we'll call them my meditation, my traditional meditation, or if it's a movement meditation, because when you're with yourself, you know, most of you are going to be like me, because you're content consumers, right? You're gonna be like, oh, I gotta do this. I gotta do this. Like, that's how everything starts, and it's okay. Yeah. You know, it's quite all right. But once you get into it, it's easy for things to come, and just listen, because like some of the greatest ideas come from being quiet.
And I want to add just really quickly, something came to me that feels important to share. It's like We are on this spiritual journey as human beings. So that being said, then our life experience is just simply this like classroom for us to learn and grow. It's like a game we all have come to play. And that means that we can make meaning of any experience, as it is a run or quiet time in the morning or journeying, as a spiritual one for ourselves, a way to really connect to who we really are. Mm-hmm. And so that is so important to see, because it doesn't have to be traditional. So mm-hmm. many people are rigid on that. It can be very open.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's my specialty as a chiropractor, being flexible, right? I'm just kidding.
Yes. Yes. I love that.
But
yeah.
I can agree with you 100%. And I see and I experience myself that, you know, I don't have that Zen Om, like transcendent meditation every time I meditate. I can't say that happens all the time. I wish I could, but I am. Like you said, I'm the spiritual being going through life in this vessel, and I'm doing my best and I keep practicing. And I can tell you, as a chiropractor, but as a human that practices good things.
Yeah.
I think the audience, you know, hearing this from me and you at the same time, really, practice doesn't make perfect ever. It just makes more practice. You're constantly getting better. You're constantly going to get better. The more repetition and time you have doing good things, it's going to result in good. The more repetition and time you have bad things, you know the answer to that one.
Right. that is your learning playground. And so that really helps for this very powerful relationship, as we spoke about too, which is the point of attraction for every relationship you have. So why not make it a beautiful one?
And I want to touch on one last thing. On your website, you have life design quiz, am I saying that right?
So
I want to guide everybody over to your website. What's the website?
It's elizabethtripp.com. It's very simple.
Yes. Hopefully all of you can do that, right? Get over to elizabethtripp.com. Take the quiz. It's a great place to start. I know we spoke about journaling and meditation and different variations of that, but something as simple as this, because I know everybody here, if you're listening or watching, is interested in being better. It's not, you know, just, you're not listening to this show or watching this show because you just have a few extra minutes in your life. You're watching because you want to be better. Wow. So take the life design quiz, get some answers, get some results, and connect with Elizabeth. I think it'll be something, if you're a fit, I mean, if you haven't heard already, her journey has been pretty amazing. And you can tell that she does the same for her tribe. Right.
Oh, wow. So
I want to guide everybody over on social at all.
Yes, I love having my community come in and experience who I am on my Facebook page, or rather my group. It's called Empowered Souls, and we have a lot of fun there. We do live like trainings. We have a show I do once a month. We have free challenges. It's really cool. And so I invite them to come over to Empowered Soul Facebook, to really get that community sense. And then I'm an Instagrammer. I don't know about you. I love to like just post pictures and stories. So that's same thing. Elizabeth M. Tripp, you can find me there.
Cool. We'll put all of that, everybody, in the show notes, so you can just click away and learn and play. And I ultimately want all of you to unleash your human potential. And Elizabeth is just another great person to connect with that may be your journey, or maybe your, how do I even say this here? She may be your guru, if you will, to help bring you on, or your guide. That's what I'm looking for, your guide to bring you on this journey.
As you go forward,
because there's so much to learn in this world. And we got one life that I know of that we can live in. So let's do it awesomely.
Thank you, Josh. Really, you are speaking so highly of me. So I really want to give back my gratitude of you feeling the alignment for me to be on your show and me being of service to your community. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for giving me this opportunity.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's been a blast. This is a little selfish for me, but I get to share you with the world and our community. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.